Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. It's game day. We got game five tonight at MSG, where the Rangers are 8-1 on home ice in the playoffs, 8 straight wins at the Madison Square Jungle. But before we get into anything, I want to introduce my good friend and my co-host, Cody Frankel. Cody, what's going on?
What is up? I am pumped for game day. I'm ready to wipe the slate clean and get a win today.
Did you not do that yet?
No. I waited until today for sure. And yeah, I also wanted to introduce our guest. We have the incredible John Brancy.
Massive guest.
You might know him as the singer at the Garden, but it's going to be an awesome interview. You guys are really going to like it, and we're stoked to show him to you guys.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get him. I never thought in a million years that he would reply to one of my tweets. I think that was really cool.
It was so funny because we were like, me and Johnny were texting and we were like, we should get John Brancy. And Johnny is the kind of person where he's incredibly impulsive. So like he'll say something. And before I even like went to his Twitter or Instagram, he already messaged him. And I'm like, all right.
And that's how you gotta do it, man.
Here we are.
You can't chill. You gotta get going. I'm cutting that out.
Nope. You gotta leave it in now.
We'll leave it in. All right. I was gonna say you gotta get horny, but I don't know if that relates, but we got John. We're happy he's coming on. You guys are going to love it. Right. It appears that we found our new national anthem singer going forward for the Rangers. I feel like most NHL teams have their one person that sings the games, and now John will be our guy, hopefully. We're at least going to push for that. So yeah. That's not locked in yet.
100%. And funny enough, you know, it's not easy to follow up on Amirante, and I actually met him twice. Great guy. One time I was eating at an Italian restaurant, and I was eating with my buddy, and it was actually during playoffs during the cup run in 2014. And we were eating at an Italian restaurant. The game, I guess the game would have been 8, right? It was the cup.
I guess. Yeah.
Prime time. Right. Yeah. So it was 8, whatever. Let's say we were eating at 6. We were just eating at an Italian restaurant, a couple blocks from the Garden. And there was just one couple like sitting directly behind us. We were like stuffed into a corner, and it was literally John and his wife. So we just started talking to him.
I actually have a story of my own too. I met him at the Hicksville train station. I think he lives around there because that's the train he takes. I got off after a practice when I was playing in New Jersey. So I would take the train to Newark because we practiced like right next to where the Devils play in the Prudential Center. And on my way home from practice, I like got off the Hicksville station with my hockey bag and I saw John Amirante. I guess the Rangers must have played that night, and he took the train back to Hicksville. So.
Damn, cool, but you didn't have confidence yet then, right? So you just stood there and
no, I have a picture with him. I have a picture.
Oh, okay, just making sure.
Yeah, I have a picture. Me, my friend Nolan and John Amirante. It's a cool picture. But you know, I think we should get into the Rangers a little bit going into game five. Game four, obviously, for anyone who watched, was not the best performance. You know, we don't want to dive too deep into the negatives, but
no need to harp on it.
Yeah, no need to harp on it. Everyone's talked about it already, but we obviously have a lot of problems to figure out though with game five. We need to know where Ryan Strome and Barclay Goodrow stand as far as health wise, or Filipetto, excuse me.
You don't
say. Yeah. As far as health wise go, you know, obviously it's not the most ideal situation to go into a playoff game with the series tied at 2-2 without your second and third line center. So
right.
I am a little more nervous than I've been in the playoffs. I think, you know, obviously Cody and I have a more positive outlook, but I'd be lying to you guys if I said I wasn't nervous.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If this is you, if you're Filipetto or you're Ryan Strome, a dead serious question, and you get hurt playoffs, how much of a factor do you think it is where it's their decision to play? And how much of a factor is it like it's the coach's decision? Like if this is me, and I know Hedl got drilled, and it looked like he hit his head on the ice. So, you know, I don't think he got a concussion, but it definitely looked like he was shaken up, whatever it was. But like, if that's me, I'm still, you know, if you're not playing the game, fine. But like the next game I'm playing, unless it's literally not my decision. So curious what you think.
I would say most players feel that way. You know, they're going to play unless they literally feel that they can't, but at the same time too, it also depends on the player, right? So like, as great as Hedl's been, as great as Strome has been, even though Strome has been, I think he's been better than fans think than he's played. You know, I think he's second on the team in shots. He's got like 9 points. He's been okay. But also he is a guy that fits in there perfectly with Panarin and Kopp. And you saw them have zero chemistry in game four. So he's obviously a little more important than the stat sheet shows. But I think if it's Panarin who's like, you know, struggling with an injury, he's like, you need him to play. The coach is going to make him play.
You mean what he's been doing this entire playoffs?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we saw it today. Leon Draisaitl also suffered a high ankle sprain, I think, in game six of the first round. And what he did, 22 points in 10 games following that is just pure insanity. I don't know any other athlete, like in any other sport, that could do that, you know, to have that much success with an injury like that. So if I had to guess, I do think Hedl and Strome are going to play, especially Strome with having game four off.
You think they're both going to play?
I think one of them, at least. I think if anything, Strome plays over Hedl.
I think Strome, I at this point, I have more confidence in Strome playing than I do in Hedl. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I say that is because all year long, you have seen Hedl get hurt. And every single time after he's had some form of an injury, he never played the next game. Three different times in the season. So that's the only reason I'm leaning a little bit more towards Strome. Like, Strome took warmups and he just wasn't 100, but I'm assuming, you know, another 2 days rest, like, he'll be okay.
Well, that's what I was going to say. To that note, this isn't an elimination game. So it's not like the whole season's on the line where, like, you know, if they're down 3-2, I think they're playing, like, no question about it. Like, I think they're in the lineup.
Yeah. Okay.
But so the fact that it's 2-2 and you still have three chances to really, or two, I guess, to close it out.
Right.
You know, you want your guys to be healthy in the elimination game. So I do. And the Rangers, plus, they've been so good on home ice. Igor's been so good on home ice.
Yeah.
As long as they play well defensively, like, you got to score 2 goals and just shut them down, hopefully, you know, to secure a win and then maybe get a healthier lineup in game six. So I really, if I'm Gerard Gallant, what are you saying if you're Gerard Gallant here? Like, what are you deciding? Like, would you sit them for one extra game and just be like, hey, like,
I'm going to tell you why. This team is 2-7 on the road.
Yeah.
They're 9-1 at home.
9-1 at home. I said 8-1. Was I wrong? It was 9-1.
Oh, maybe they're 8-1. I thought they were 9-1. Maybe they're 8-1.
You're probably right. No, I might be lost here on that one.
We'll look that up after. But listen, if it's my decision as the player and I think I'm at least like 85% like ready to go, I would want to play. That being said, I'm not a player, so I can't make that decision, but I do think Strome is going to push heavily to play. Hedl, I just don't know. I don't know, you know, how bad it was. Like, for all we know, it could be borderline concussion and that wouldn't be good. So,
yeah.
I hope it's not, because he's been playing fantastic and, you know, an honest man can admit when he's wrong about someone. And listen, I was wrong about Hedl. I've given him little flack over the years, and he blossomed this playoff, so he's been very good, and I would love to see him play. But that being said, if one isn't a go and Sammy Blais is near 100% and you're Sammy Blais, do you push the coach to put you in, or would you rather see a Rooney or Brodzinski?
I'd rather see Rooney or Brodzinski. I think Sammy Blais he hasn't played a game, dude, in 8 to 9 months.
I know.
I think you're just kind of throwing him. I think you're setting him up for failure, though. He hasn't.
Yeah.
Not only has he not played a regular season game, but throwing him into a playoff game right now, he's not. Listen, he's not going to have confidence in himself right now, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta gain some sort of confidence. And to that note too, you know, I've played like maybe one or two games with like an injury, like a thumb sprain, nothing, not a big deal. But even with that, and listen, I'm probably not as tough as these guys. When you are playing with something bothering you. But when you're playing with something bothering you, you're aware of it. Like, the game I played, I remember, it was my freshman year at UMass. I like went into the boards weird. My thumb was fucking killing me. It happened in the second period. In the whole third period, I didn't want to shoot the puck. Like, I didn't think my shot would be hard. It was in my head the entire time. So whatever injury they're battling.
Are convinced about Panarin.
Yeah. And that could be true. yeah. You know, that could be true. I haven't seen Panarin really load up for a one-timer all playoffs long, and he does like to do that every now and then.
Except the game winner was kind of like the OT Penguins game seven game winner was kind of like I mean, it was a wrister, but it was still like a kind of wind-up wrister.
It was kind of a muffin. Wasn't as hard a shot.
Yeah, exactly. But so enough of that. Like, you're GG going into the game, right? Games tonight. What are we doing with the lines? If let's say they're both out. Let's say they're both out. What are we doing?
I did not like Barclay Goodrow on the second line. I thought you kind of touched on it perfectly, Cody, in the last episode, that he fits in so well with the fourth line. You said, right, don't touch the kid line or the fourth line. That's what you said, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. If I'm changing anything up, you know that I wanted Vetrano on the second line pretty much all year.
I got to agree with you now. I want Panarin on line one with Kreider and Zibanejad. I think Zibanejad's been getting locked up by Cirelli for almost three games now.
Yeah.
Cirelli's a really good matchup for him, especially on faceoffs and stuff like that. He's a great defensive player and he's a good offensive player too. He just hasn't been producing in these playoffs, but I mean, he has been locking Mika up. So, you know, switch it up a little bit, put Panarin on that top line, go full force power. And then, put Vetrano on line two. And you know who's the other guy I would love to see on line two? And I'm going against my word here, but I think if this is being both of them out, right? So this is Strome and Hedo. Last game when I said that, I was only talking about Strome. Mm-hmm. But with both of them out, dude, I'm putting Mott on line two. I think Mott has played great, and I'm putting Mott on line two, and I'm moving Kopp down.
Bro, I completely agree. I wanted Tyler Mott to be on the second line, I think, for game four. And one thing that I didn't like either to that note was GG splitting up Zibanejad and Kreider. I mean, they've been a bromance all year long. Like, they play so well together. I didn't like that at all, that he split them up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't know. I mean, and also, you know, if you do move Mott up to the second line, then I guess you put your fourth line. I guess
Brodzinski's coming in, I think. Yeah, Brodzinski's coming
in. You think over Rooney this time?
I saw some people tweeting that Rooney was playing like a great game because he has fresh legs. I didn't think he was anything special at all.
He didn't play bad. He didn't play good. But
not to nitpick on the first goal, on Pat Maroon's goal, there were four Rangers around the crease. Yeah. And no one looked to pick up Pat Maroon. Everyone was just puck watching. And it really was Rooney's guy. Rooney was the first guy back. He was the center. Pat Maroon came in and cleaned up the garbage, and Rooney was just watching the puck. Like he span around after and realized, listen, I'm not trying to blame Rooney.
Kreider summarized it, man. Kreider summarized it. We're puck watching.
Yeah.
We're puck watching. He summarized it perfectly. You can't let Big Rig score against you. It comes down to that. Like, come playoffs, that's you know, he's a little more talented than Reeves offensively, but that's like essentially what that would be for us. I mean, you just can't let that happen. You're absolutely right. I think we're doing a little too much puck watching, and I think they know that now. And you know, Panarin said it best: got to play harder, got to play fiercer. And I think they're going to do that into tonight's game. Apologies if we keep saying tomorrow. We're recording this, you know, the day before. So we're going back and forth on tomorrow and tonight. But listen, it's they know what they need to do, man. That's what it comes down to. I think they know what they need to do. They're bringing it back to the garden, the jungle. It's going to be loud. I thought Igor's been playing great. Like, even yesterday, I mean, I don't know how much you can really blame on him of that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a great series. And listen, if you told us in September, like, we're tied 2-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the back-to-back champs, like, we're taking that all day at home, 2 out of 3 games. Like, give me that all day. Give me that all day. I still like our chances. I just think they've adjusted to us and we need to adjust to them. You know,
I think there's no way the series doesn't go 7.
You really see?
Yeah.
I think if we win tomorrow, I think we clinch in 6. Really? I really do. I think if we win tomorrow, we clinch in 6.
Well, then what if we lose?
If we lose tomorrow, we're in problems. If we lose, the thing is, and you know, I don't want to toot my own horn or like anything like that, but like, if we lose tomorrow, like, how do you recover from 3 straight losses going into an elimination game away? Like, that's really a tough thing to do. That being said, I do think we're going to win tomorrow. I think, like I said, they know what they need to do, and I think they're going to get it done, and just got to play their game. They literally got to get back to their roots. Tampa figured them out to an extent. They just need to adjust and get Mika away from Cirelli. Let him, you know, do his thing, make some big passes, big shots. And same thing, like Fox, got to get Fox room to make those plays, right? So like they were doing a really good job tightening up on Fox yesterday.
Another thing too, in game four, the Rangers didn't really get a power play opportunity until late in the second period. So, you know, That's been the bread and butter all playoffs long, and that kind of gets the offense going, and they didn't even get an opportunity. So that's something I'm hoping we get in the first period in game five, a little power play to get the boys going a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be another home and home split. I think the Rangers win game five, Tampa wins game six, and then it comes back Tuesday night for game seven, which might be a controversy with this Justin Bieber concert going on. I think there's a lot of drama around that. It's been a lot of fun. Like seeing all these, I've seen TikToks and a lot of my friends have tickets complaining.
The believers are going to start hoisting fucking picket signs right outside of the garden.
I mean, it just adds some like fun extra drama though. I have a tweet that I'm going to send out probably after game five. So I have it in my drafts already. I'm not going to lie. But I think game six will be the most watched playoff game in history simply because everyone's just going to be watching to see if Justin Bieber has a concert or not on Tuesday.
All the believers just, that'd be funny. I mean, Listen, it's good press. So it would be press. I like Biebs.
No, I love Bieber, but I feel like it's bad press that the Garden like has a game scheduled the same night as the concert.
I mean, that just shows that they didn't think we'd be here.
it just
shows. But that's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know. I liked your tweet though, where you said, Brancy chirped. That was a good one, but you'll have to bring that up to him.
Oh yeah. It's the first thing I'm going to ask him. I think on that note, should we just hand it over to John Brancy?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's send it over. Today, we're really happy to welcome on a new friend of the show, someone that all Ranger fans are now familiar with, the Grammy Award winning opera singer and the national anthem singer for the New York Rangers, coming to us live outside of his Airbnb in New Jersey. John Brancy, it's a fucking pleasure to have you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to see you, Johnny and Cody. Great to be here.
Great to meet you.
Yeah. I want to start off just by clearing the air. I did tweet, if Justin Bieber is in New York City, maybe he'll sing the national anthem for game seven, if there is one. And I did not mean to attack you. That was just me saying it'd be cool for social media, but I speak for all Ranger fans where we don't want anyone else singing the national anthem, I think, ever beside you. So I just wanted to apologize for that tweet.
It's all good. It actually was fuel for the fire, right? To see who out there was going to support my cause.
I also sang you a little tune.
It was cool.
Did you expect the response that you got from your response to my tweet?
No, not at all. I was just going to have some fun with that, but I was pleasantly surprised to see the reaction from the fans and see them come to my side. You know, come to my aid on that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Absolutely. And I guess I wanted to start off with, aside from your angelic voice, what inspired you to get into music, and how old were you when it entered your life?
Well, I played sports growing up. I played baseball and roller hockey.
No way.
You too. Well, Cody.
Yeah.
Baseball and roller hockey.
Baseball, roller hockey when I was a kid. And then I didn't play football until I got into middle school. But I had always sung in choir. Mm-hmm. And it was the scheduling of those two things didn't really work out. But I started singing when I was 8 years old, and I grew up in South Jersey, outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I have some Philly sports teams that I have a lot of respect for.
We know that's code for.
We'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. I'm wearing this Rangers hat, so it's very important.
It's all that matters.
Yeah, it looks lovely on you. Troy Bolton, an athlete and singer.
High School Musical. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Did some High School Musical stuff and sang in choirs and went to, you know, we traveled a lot with our choir. We went to Europe when I was like 15. We went to Italy.
That's pretty cool.
Which was amazing. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, wow, I get to do this. And when I'm 15 years old in high school, and we went to all these different cities, we went to Toronto and Los Angeles and DC, and my school would like go on these field trips. We would just go to like, you know, Hershey Park and Six Flags and just compete in choir competitions, but then go ride roller coasters. It was, yeah, it was kind awesome. Of a great thing to do that I was getting like credits for in a grade, in school,
you but schemed I the system.
Exactly. Always. But no, I mean, I happen to be pretty good at it. And then it kind of, when I got into high school, it developed into something a little bit more full-time and important. And then I had to quit sports actually, because and I have this problem at the Rangers games. Actually, I get very loud. I get very vocal. I'm a very vocal person, if you guys can't imagine. So I have to just be careful with whenever I'm, you know, I can't do the chant songs with y'all because I do them in my heart. At this point, I'm wearing earplugs in the games. I stay for the full games, but just to protect my ears, protect my voice and all that stuff. Well, yeah, that's why I had to quit. That's why I had to quit playing football, because I was the loudest kid on the team. I would lose my voice all the time. My choir director was like, it's one or the other.
You were the hype guy?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I was hype guy. I played on the starting teams though. Like I was actually on the line.
No way.
I was a lineman.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I was a center. I played center on the line.
Oh my gosh.
So you're a beast.
You're the big guy.
I'm a beast. I'm strong. I'm very strong. Yeah, exactly. I was big for a 14-year-old.
Yeah. You should sing the national anthem tonight, benching at the same time. That'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly. I can do that. I can, squatting.
So, change it up a bit.
So I've heard multiple people who are really hoping you'll become the permanent Rangers guy, similar to the legendary John Amarante. Is that something you've thought about over these past few weeks and something you'd be interested in?
I mean, definitely something I've been thinking about pretty heavily. this is definitely an experience unlike anything I've ever had in my life on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. But to be frank and honest with you, these past couple of weeks, honestly, after they beat the Penguins, everything got turned up for me. Yeah. I was like, oh, whoa, this is going somewhere else. So, I've had to deal with some conflicts with my own business because I'm a business. The baritone, the Grammy Award winning baritone. Grammy I got that through,
I'm not a businessman. Yeah. I'm a business man.
Okay. Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, Frank Sinatra also was known to be a business. He was an enterprise. So, not saying I'm like Frank Sinatra, but maybe.
But
you're not saying it.
Yeah. I'm not saying it. but no, I mean, like it's been a lot to balance that with my career, because my career is very important to me, and it's been something I've been working on since I graduated Juilliard in 2013. I did 2 degrees at the Juilliard School in Lincoln Center, and I lived in New York for over a decade. So I was a resident of the state of New York and the city. So I'm very much a New Yorker, big part of my life,
Love that.
Living in the city.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But, to this specific question, I mean, right now I like to focus on as much as I can on the moment at hand. Mm-hmm. And thinking about next October, it's kind of throwing me a little bit. So I'm here. We've got 3 games that are very, very important. Tomorrow is obviously, can we galvanize? Can we come together? Can I, give the best, literally the best performance that I've done yet? I'm trying every time. Mm-hmm. I'm literally, just getting up on the ice and on this carpet, and I'm trying to deliver an even more. Yeah, always. I mean, playing sports growing up, and music is kind of, for me, it is a bit of a competition and a sport. And I've competed in singing competitions all around the world. Actually, that's a big part of what I've done. Won a lot of first prizes too. So
got a lot of trophies.
Got a lot of trophies. Yeah.
The humble brag.
That's right.
I love it.
Yeah. But But going back again, I mean, it's not out of the question for that permanence. But right now I'm focused on winning these games and getting to the Stanley Cup.
Well, speaking of galvanizing, coming together, something that I love about like the Canadian national anthem, and you know, a lot of teams do this, but Canada especially, the crowd kind of sings the anthem together. And I know the Islanders did it a little bit last year, where Nicole Revive, I think is her name, she would hold the mic up and the Coliseum would sing it with her. Is that something you've thought about doing possibly? I know your voice, you know, I think the Garden wouldn't be able to sing with you per se, because your voice is so unique. But, you know, I personally, as a fan, like, get the chills whenever the crowd sings it together. Is that something you've thought of?
This is something I've been, like, as an artist and as a performer, I've been wanting to do for a while now, is actually get the crowd singing with me. And actually, every time I do it, I'm finding it's more. And it's in different spots. It doesn't necessarily have to be the whole thing. And I like that it's now kind of in different, you know, positions. I think there was somebody in your comments, by the way, amazing Instagram picture and post. Like, who's the Photoshop genius?
Shout out to AJ and Alex and Stiglio. That was a fucking sick picture.
It was amazing. Yeah, I was just like, I mean, if the Garden doesn't use that one, I don't know which one we're going to use. It was epic. But I was looking at some of the comments. I haven't had time to answer or like respond on that thread, but there's like 30 some comments. And one of them was like, am I offended, or am I offended by like when they yell, "Let's go Rangers" during the anthem?
That. I was just going to add on to that and ask that. So take it away.
Well, I mean, I'm not, but like, you know, it's, I think what, one could be, you know, for instance, if they're like very patriotic, or if they're in the service, you know, one could be, you know, say, have respect, right? But then at the same time, with what we're talking about here, I hear the fans singing, you know, on certain lines, which kind of, you know, equalizes it for me, or neutralizes it, you know, is it probably a better term. But yeah, to get the whole arena singing, that would be pretty amazing, honestly. I think I can do that probably a little bit easier because of the nature of the way that I'm singing it. First of all, the key signature that I'm singing the anthem in is very high for most people. So for guys, it's going to be like a tenor-ish key. Like, it's kind of more so for a tenor. Actually, Amarante would sing it very close to this key, which... When I was, I looked him up, obviously, before I did my first one in February, and I'd heard him do it in that key, and I was like, it's ballsy. I mean, it's not an easy key. C major. I mean, like, you have to go up on G. I'm gonna talk like music a little bit here.
You can.
The note of a G. The G is actually, for my voice, for a baritone, is kind of the top. For a tenor, the C is the top. You know, it's really a third. That's the measurement in an interval. Like, I'm giving you guys a theoretical lesson here.
Yes, but we take
the
notes.
Interval. Yeah, exactly. The interval is like around a third, a fourth. So yeah, I mean, like for Pavarotti would be a C, but mine is where a baritone is normally a G. I can hit quite a bit higher than that, but so it is it's a challenging key to get an entire audience to sing. Yeah. I mean, maybe even if we get some more music, pumping in the Garden, right?
So I would be a B. I would be a B.
You're a B.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, also, bro, guess what? We're gonna post what you just said as a clip tomorrow, I think, and get the whole fan base to rally behind you, I think, for Game 5, and that'd be sick.
All right, I would love that.
That would be something.
Let's do it. I mean, I would say, let me take the first line. Let's get some tempo. Yeah.
Give the instructions.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn? So I'll get us in tempo. And then by the second phrase, by the streaming.
This is amazing.
Yeah,
I think that's where we'll get it going.
Give the cue. Hold the mic up.
And if they want to do it.
We'll have to get that to go viral tonight. Maybe. So. Oh, yeah. So
hold the mic up.
Yeah, hold the mic up.
I'll be like, come on, are we doing this? Are we doing this? Yeah, we're doing this.
I will actually shit my pants if you do that. If I'm watching,
that would be unreal.
I like that idea. I like that idea. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers have to feel a oneness tomorrow.
Yeah,
right. There has to be like, because can I talk a little hockey?
Would love nothing more.
By all means.
Because I've been watching nothing but hockey now. Like, I'm not watching the NBA finals at all. Like, I have no, I like basketball, but it's just like, it was my worst sport. I was horrible. The only basket I ever scored playing basketball was on my own team. So I'm just like absolutely terrible at basketball.
That's hard to do.
But, yeah, it's terrible. It was like a 3-point shot too. No, I never want to play basketball. But I'll watch it. But I've just been so engrossed and like drawn into this team and what's happening right now. And I mean, like watching these playoff games and seeing how they've come through all of these, you know, major upsets against the Penguins and the Canes. I mean, like, those teams wanted it. They were not coming to those games like without tons of fire and intensity every single game. And I thought a little bit of how this series started with Tampa Bay and watching them play those first two games. And then it was the first game. I mean, they just handed it to Tampa Bay. And I think it was really cool to watch that because they played them like they were the Canes. That's how I kind of saw it. And Tampa Bay wasn't ready to like experience them playing that way. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they were like, they were all over them on the rink. It was just like, they didn't know what to make of them because they were just off, you know, just from playing that wild team. Mm-hmm. And then the second game, they kind of started to like catch on. Right. It was just like, it was a little bit closer. And by the end that we were all just like biting our nails. We're like, mm-hmm. what was going to happen? And then those two games just happened. I think that Tampa Bay kind of like, they've kind of like, it seems, have figured some stuff out.
Yeah.
So I guess my thought process here is that like, and I'm not a coach. I'm just an observer. I'm just watching and I'm feeling the energy, right? That's it. The tempo of the thing. But like, I feel like the hockey that they played against the Penguins kind of has to like make its self-known now against Tampa Bay, because the Penguins were a much more like organized team than the Canes were, right? They were like, that's how they were playing the hockey. The Canes were it was just a filthy battle.
Yeah.
It's like who is stronger and faster, right? But like, how did they beat the Penguins, you know? And the Penguins were like, they were calculated. And I think that I don't know. I hope that that's not like too much of a thought process on hockey right here.
No, I don't think
you're
so.
Good. But, you're good, dude.
I mean, the Penguins are proven winners and, you know, they've won cups. And then Tampa obviously is proven winners as well. And they've won cups. So they definitely have some similar type of style. And I think you're right on the money there to say that the first two games, you know, the Rangers played a little differently and then Tampa kind of adjusted a little bit and now figured them out in a sense. So the Rangers motto, I think we all know, is literally no quit in New York. So it's that time for them to really see if they can adjust right back and kind of switch a few things up and then, you know, be as resilient as they've been in these series against teams like the Canes and the Penguins and apply that and try and get two more wins and, you know, get back to the cup for sure.
Yeah. And I actually feel like it's totally possible and more than possible. I have faith. I have actual, like, I think it's coming.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I'm very excited for these next two games in particular. Yeah. I think that there's something happening in the world. Like, I was listening to NPR. And they were all about Tampa. They were all about Tampa and like how Tampa's like made a comeback and all this stuff. And I was like, what are they talking about? That, I mean, Tampa, yeah, sure. They've won two cups and go to the Stanley Cup a third time in a row would be great. It would be amazing. But the Rangers have like come out of nowhere and are literally, they crushed them in the first game. And then the second game, they held their own. That's the story here.
it's Cinderella story.
It is. Sure. I mean, it is. It's like, mm-hmm. It was a bit shocking. I was like, NPR. I mean, like,
listening to them again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, ESPN, I would understand maybe, but like, what are they talking about this for?
Oh, man. So
I'm going to get my car because I think the light.
Oh, it's getting dark?
Yeah, it's getting dark out.
Dark.
So, John's been outside for everyone listening right now.
Yeah, just chilling. But I did want to ask, you've now sang the anthem in both the regular season and playoffs. How big would you say the difference is? And have you been feeling any more pressure these past few weeks doing it in the playoffs?
The energy has been crazy and different every game. Like you get, the thing about singing the anthem is that I don't want to make it boring. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to make it something that, you know, oh, we heard him do it, you know, and it's like, you know, it sounds like it did the last time. I'm trying to change things every time, just ever so slightly, whether it's from what's inside, you know, because being an artist, being a singer, being a performer, a lot of that comes from within, you know, it's a lot of like what you are wanting to say and what you feel is coming through your voice. It's a right. channel. It's what it is. It's a channel. I mean, you say what you think, you say what you feel, right? same thing goes for singing. So if we get the whole audience to sing together,
yeah,
we have to have that intention that we want the team to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. It can't just be for the novelty of singing together. It's got to be the intention, the heart, you know, if we all have our hands on our hearts, yes, it's for our country too, you know, like the togetherness idea. So being able to, it's a bigger question a little bit that I'm answering here, if that's okay, because it's been an incredible experience to, you know, stand in front of 18,000 people night after night and sing our nation's anthem and hear voices sing it back to me and hear like that togetherness and to feel, you know, everyone in the space listening to each other and listening to the song, which has had a lot of difficulties, mm-hmm. you know, throughout its time and very much over the past little while for good reason. But I don't want to get too political. It's an important thing right now, because I think it's I want to keep focused on the team and what's, you know, what's at hand. But to go back to like the audience reactions and stuff like that, I think, you know, tomorrow is going to be very similar to when they played the Canes. Was it in game 6?
Six.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Game 6. Yeah. That was really intense because that was an elimination game, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
I think it was.
It was.
They needed to win.
Yeah. For us, it was an elimination game.
Yeah, exactly. It was 3-2. And I think everybody was just, you could feel it. They were like, oh my God. and I want that tomorrow. I want that energy tomorrow. And I'm going to bring it, because like we need to show the whole, you know, the whole hockey world needs to see that the Rangers are basically destined for the cup.
I thought of something funny you can do to change it up. Instead of the fans screaming, let's go Rangers while you're singing, why don't you mix one in the mic?
Yeah, right.
Just a quick pause.
Now I think that so I've gotten that request a lot.
I'm just fucking with you. You should not
mess
do
up
that.
Your flow though.
No.
Would it mess up your flow?
I mean, if I was just like Rangers, and then like I just started the whole anthem like in the beginning, like
forget your spot.
Instead of starting with the oh, I was just immediately like, let's go Rangers. Like then we got going.
Lingering, I'm talking to you.
Because at the end, you have to have the reverence of the song, you know, it's
right.
And then to do it in the middle. And this is the whole thing about the waving of the scarf,
uh-huh.
which is Amarante's
trademark
signature move.
Yep.
You know, and I've gotten that a lot. Please wave the scarf or the towel. Sorry, not the scarf. Wave Maya had the scarf.
Your scarf.
Wave
the towel.
Yeah, and I've been trying to like, trying to do this thing with the scarf where I'm like, I'm holding on to the scarf. I don't know if people have been catching on to that, but like at the end, I grab it and I hold on to it because like, for me, that's signifying like, we got to hold on. We got to be a team. That's kind mm-hmm. of the difference for me. Rallying is important. And I may swing a towel one game, which game, I don't know, but it will have to be like a special one. And I think it would have to be in honor of Mr. Amarante.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's his signature move. It's not my move.
When you're like getting ready to do the anthem at the Garden every single time, like how crazy is the practice regimen, I guess? Like, do you spend hours practicing before, or you just go right there and you're like, all right, let's do this thing?
The latter.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I have I've spent the hours practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, do you know the term 10,000 hours?
I know the song.
Yeah, the song.
The term
is very like valid in terms of practice, and mm-hmm. you know, these guys who are playing on the ice, a lot of them have already achieved 10,000 hours of practice. Mm-hmm. I've surpassed it by many, many thousands of hours at this point.
I want to go back to what you were saying before in regards to John Amarante. And I know a lot of fans obviously like want to bring that energy back, but I also think it's so important for you to find your own voice, because if you are going to be that guy, you got to have your own thing, you know, obviously, you know, he was a legend in every, you know, phrase of the word, but
absolutely
at the same time, like it's a new regime now too. It's a new team. It's a whole new vibe around the city and around the Rangers that like, you also got to, you know, be that guy for us where it's like, oh shit, John Brancy did his thing, you know, not like the, you know, I feel like that's not like to put pressure, but like, I feel like that's gotta be such a cool feeling for you too. Right. Right. Like, what is my signature move going to be? And it could be the grabbing of the scarf, but you know, I feel like that's a really cool thing that you can like definitely hone in.
Well, you know, he also had the mic on the stand, and he had Ray playing with him on the organ. Mm-hmm. And I love Ray, and we've actually had at the last viewing party, we did New York, New York together.
I saw that.
I don't know.
You crushed that. Did you get recognized there, by the way? Did people, or before, I guess, like, are people recognizing you in the streets now?
On the streets? I think I'm getting some. I mean, if somebody's wearing a Rangers jersey, for sure. I mean, if I had my hat off and I'm like, just, you know, with my bald head, I was it's pretty obvious, you know?
It's great.
Yeah. But if I put my hat on and my glasses, nobody's going to see me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like walking around like everybody else. But no, I mean, the New York, New York thing was I'll come back to that. What was the question again? It was with Amarante, right? It was this feeling of,
you just skip it.
No. It's important. It's important. It's the, you know, yeah. Finding the, what was it again? It was like, we were
just like your own
thing, trademark. Like your niche. Yeah.
Honestly, man, I think if I may be so bold, for me, it is about the singing. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for me to share my instrument, as it were, with a brand new audience. Mm-hmm. And I've been singing all over the world. I've been singing in Germany and Austria and Switzerland and France and Russia and Finland and the UK and Canada, all over the country, and all over our country. I've been all over the United States. The only states that I haven't performed in are like the Dakotas. Like, who needs to go there? I mean, no, I love that. I love the people from the Dakotas. But yeah, I mean, like, it's been a unique thing for me to get to bring the sound of opera singing to the Rangers fans and to Madison Square Garden in particular.
Yeah.
Because Madison Square Garden has a extremely rich history of music. I mean, going back to this idea of the practice room, when I'm in the green room, I've opened my door and there's Bruce Springsteen.
My favorite.
You know, yeah. And then there's I think like Sting is down the way, and Fish, and all of these massive, massive characters Prince, everyone has performed at the Garden. Billy Joel. And I think that that's Billy Joel. I mean, of course, Billy Joel. But all these, the Garden these staple. Titans of music. Oh, there we go. Oh, I'm gone.
Just like that.
Just like that, my car decided to. There we go. I had to turn it on, I guess. All these titans of music that are. Oh, come on.
The difficulties.
Technical difficulties, yeah. Of podcasting in a car. Going back to this point, yeah, the titans of music that have come through that space. And for me to get to even for 90 seconds, but it's not just any 90 seconds. It's the national anthem. It's the Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. Something that is like, for most singers, is actually, people are extremely afraid to sing because it can be so difficult and mm-hmm. daunting. For me, it feels very natural and exciting every time I get up and do it. And it's kind of like, I think my stamp again is the sound, is my voice in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would argue to Johnny's point, I mean, you being an opera singer and singing it at the Garden is like, that's kind of like your own thing already. I feel like that's so unique and not something that we're really used to. Yeah. You know, I've been going to Ranger games for a really long time and I haven't really seen many opera singers, especially one like yourself, who's now becoming kind of a Garden staple. So it's really awesome to see it, you know, unfold and things like that. So
100%. I stand corrected.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to see where this went. You know, when I started doing it in February and this guy hooked it up for me. He's an agent in Broadway and I knew him. I met him at the Grammys and he was like, "Hey, have you ever performed at have you ever sang the anthem for a sporting event?" And I was like, "No, never done it. I've always wanted to." And he's like, "Would you like to do it at Madison Square Garden?" And I was like,
"Ugh. Yeah."
Yes, yes, please.
Of course.
Even if it's for the dog show.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the darts.
For the dog show. Yeah. But for the Rangers, for the New York Rangers. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yes. And that's when I looked up Amarante and I saw the reverence that's given to the anthem and how it's treated, you know, period. And it was just like, I was like, this is different. It's different.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. And John, are you cool with just like one more each?
Yeah.
Yeah. We want you to save your voice for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess my last question for you is there anything you would want different from the fans to help your experience of singing the anthem?
That's a good question.
Is there anything different?
Or just to, like, obviously you're building the fans up, but is there any way for the fans to like return that favor to you to like hype you up?
At this point, I mean, it's such a strong outpouring on my socials, you know, Twitter and Instagram. That's been amazing and, you know, really, really cool to see as an outcome. In the Garden, though, I'm staying for these games. You know, I'm staying for the team. I'm staying for the fans. And I'm staying for myself now because I'm becoming a Rangers fan, you know? Mm-hmm. When I see you in the Garden, I'm happy to say hello and I'm happy to take a picture.
Is there a butt coming?
No. I'm good to do it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, they don't like to be approached, you know, when they get to a position where, you know, a lot of people want to see them and talk to them. But what I have to say is, again, I'm an artist. So if it's very loud, I don't talk to you in that moment, but if I give you a thumbs up or a hand gesture to come on over and let's do it, that's talking. Yeah. I'm literally using sign language because I have earplugs in and I'm trying to conserve my voice over the noise, over the literal noise level. So I'm happy to communicate with you, with folks. And take pictures all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not about to like literally step on stage and do something, right? But if I don't talk back, don't take that as a sense of me being kind of a, you know, a shitty guy. I'm just trying to preserve my voice.
Mm-hmm. Great point. All right, I'm gonna go with a little fun one here. If you could sing a duet with any one artist, and at the event of your choice, it could have been at any point in time. Who are you rocking with and where would it be?
Whoa. Any one artist at any point in time. I mean, just because I think it would sound so epic if I were to sing a duet with him, it would have to be potentially Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause also he did a duet with he duetted with a lot of different people, but there's this one song you guys probably don't know it.
What is it?
It was for, it's called Princes of the Universe.
Nope. Definitely don't know it.
Don't know that one.
All right. Go YouTube Princes of the Universe.
I'll check it out after this.
By Queen. It was for the movie Highlander.
I know the movie Highlander.
It was like a theme song that they did for Highlander. It's so epic. I sang it on my friend's recital at Juilliard.
Wow.
Yeah, in the key of Freddie Mercury.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. I think that to do a duet with him in his like prime would be pretty cool. Living artist right now, because I'd like to answer it for that. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there because I think it's possible. May I?
Yeah. By all means.
Yeah.
I'd like to sing with a friend of mine, actually.
Okay.
Her name is Caroline Polachek, and okay. she opened recently for Dua Lipa.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
She's an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. I'm giving a shout out to Caroline. Yeah.
Build her up. Yeah, hype her up.
Incredible singer. Incredible singer. Completely made her own sound. That is just awesome. Like one of the coolest and freshest sounds that are out there.
Is she on Spotify?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's been
check
on
her out.
Fallon. Yeah. Caroline Polachek. I mean, like, shout out. Because I totally think that someday I might, you know, maybe at the Garden. Share the stage. Sick. You know?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
She's opening for Dua Lipa. She's doing something right.
But she also just has an amazing vocal instrument. She's a great singer. Yeah. So there we go.
Where would it be?
Where?
Yeah.
The garden.
All right. Just
about?
Wanted to make sure. Just had to make sure.
All day, every day.
And I guess my last part to that is, could you hit the notes though to Bohemian Rhapsody?
Bohemian Rhapsody?
With Freddie Mercury?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not a problem.
Did you happen to catch the video of Cody doing the impression of you?
I did. It was fantastic. Bravo.
That was
Bravo,
awesome.
Good sir.
Did I get to B note?
Yeah, you're the B note. you're the B side. I'm calling you in if I ever get sick.
All right. I'll warm
you. He would shit his pants.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do. I would need gallons of water near me. Yeah. But John, this was amazing, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. On behalf of Ranger fans, we literally love and adore you. So we're hoping that we see a lot of you for the coming years. Even though I know your business, I know.
We'll see how things shake down, you know. But thank you guys so much. Thank you, and let's go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers. Thanks, John.
LGR.
See ya.
And a huge thanks to John Brancy. He was just incredible. Guy's a star in the making. I can't wait to, you know, hopefully see him at the Garden many, many more times.
I love him so much more now after talking to him. Like, he's just an awesome dude.
Awesome dude.
Yeah,
awesome.
I just want to hang out with him. I want to watch a game with him.
I want to grab a beer with him. I think we should.
I want to go on vacation with him.
I want to live in Jersey with him at that Airbnb.
We can do this all day. It's, you know, weirder and weirder. But seriously, what a fun interview. What an awesome guy. And I feel like it's so cool just to, like, get to know our anthem singer. Like, I feel like anyone listening to that. Yeah, no idea. Maybe in the Wikipedia search, but I think anyone listening to that that's a Ranger fan is going to fall in love with him even more. I mean, like, I felt a true connection to him, like, talking to him like that, you know?
Same. Yeah, he just, you know, he seemed like a genuine guy. And it's really cool in any capacity, I feel like, when we talk to guests, like, just to level set with them and learn more about them. And, you know, they're people too, like, outside of us seeing them in their element. So it's really cool to get a feel for what they're like outside of when they're in that element.
I swear to God, if the Garden sings the anthem tonight together with him, I'll lose my shit.
we that's us. Yeah. That's actually us.
Yep. Hire us. no, but that'd be so cool, man. And have you been in a building ever when they've done that? Cause it's such a crazy feeling.
At the Garden?
Just anywhere. Have you been?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been at concerts when they do it. I've never been to like,
oh, like when they sing the anthem. No concert sing the anthem together.
Oh, you're saying when they sing the anthem? Nah, I don't think I've ever seen that. Really? Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that. Where have you seen it?
I was at a game.
Imagine you're just like, yeah, Zach Brown Band.
I was at game six of the Islanders Tampa series last year, the last game in the Coliseum, and Nicole Revive would hold the microphone up and the whole Coliseum would sing it. It was really such a cool feeling, honestly. And like, I know, like I said in the interview, the Canadian teams do it all the time. One of my favorite videos of all time to watch, like, that just gives me chills, is game seven between Vancouver and Boston. That Canadian national anthem, if you watch this on YouTube, you'll like literally get chills throughout your entire body. They sing "O Canada" together in Vancouver, and it's one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. Like, the building is so insanely loud.
Wow. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Wow. Cool. Neat.
Dope. Yeah, no, I'll check that out. But anyways, and after tonight's game, we have another game on Saturday at 8 p.m. and then potentially game seven on Tuesday. I would assume that would be at 8 p.m. as well. Hopefully Rangers in six.
I still think it's going seven, but I'm praying to God that they close it out in six, because if it goes to seven, I remember exactly where I was watching game seven in 2015 against Tampa. I was just like,
so do I. I have that memory etched into my brain. I was at a bar in my hometown with my friends, just like, I'm pretty sure we were the only ones in the bar, and I was just sipping on a beer, super pissed off. And we lost 1-0 too. Was it 1-0?
I think empty net. I think it was 1-0.
Yeah. Fucking Tyler Johnson, man. Oh my God. He killed us those playoffs.
It was like a weak backhander by Andre Pallott, I remember. Lundqvist. Oh my God. I'm sure that one.
Pallott got definitely us again in game three. So yeah,
he set the franchise record for Tampa for most game winning goals, which is pretty crazy to think about.
No Chris Kreider, but
no. But yeah, hopefully they pull it out tonight. Yeah, on that note, I'm saying on that note again, I guess.
On that note. We will drop another episode for you guys on Monday. Mm-hmm. And let's go get the win tonight and take care of some business.
Let's go, Rangers. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.